Buck fans, you need to hear this. I was back at the Bill Curry Ford showroom earlier this week, and that's on Dale Mabry, a little bit north of the stadium. And I got my Ford Escape Cherry Red 2020 months ago. And I walked back into that showroom, and I had three or four people come up to me immediately. They remembered my name. They knew what vehicle I had. They wanted to know immediately if there was an issue, which there isn't. And the warmth enveloped me just like those seat warmers on my buns. And then the man himself, Sean Sullivan. When you go there, and if you're a Buck fan, you're going to have a tough time getting Sean Sullivan to talk about anything but the Bucks. But when he's not talking about the Bucks, and it's a heck of an informative opinion he's got, he's going to get you the best deal in town. I've been to a lot of showrooms, Steve, a lot of different car brands. Bill Curry Ford, concierge service, the best in town. BillCurryFord.com.
We want to remind you about Pin Chasers, where shoes are always free. And it's not a shoe store, it's a bowling alley, the place to go bowling in the Tampa Bay area. They have three locations. You can find them at pinchasers.net. There you can also see the daily specials. Sometimes they have more than one in a day. Tuesday night is the all-you-can-eat pizza bowl. Sunday morning is the breakfast bowl. Great fun on the weekends. Get to pinchasers.net to see the daily specials. And remember, you can have a company party right at Pin Chasers, and there's so much going on there, so much fun, great upbeat atmosphere, games, food. You don't need to worry about the people who don't bowl, and they will give you a personal party planner that will take care of everything for you and make sure everything runs smoothly and is a great time. Pin Chasers, they've been around Tampa for so, so long, and you can find them at pinchasers.net. Reserve a lane today.
Gentlemen, I have been impaneled on a jury. It's a freaking holiday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on episode 2 of the week, presented by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz, here with Lee D. Kemper, and of course, the man that makes this podcast, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's the custodian of Canton, the prince of Pasco County, the joker of jury duty. He is Uncle Ira, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, it is so good to see you again today. How the hell are you?
I'm in jury mode, baby. Burden of proof, beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm studying up. I'm getting all sharp on this. You think Sean Sullivan knows the draft? I know jurisprudence, my man. Hey, it's supposed to be a two-day trial. I figure I can handle 2 days, Steve. Why not?
Jurisprudence, Lee, that sounds like somebody Ira probably dated in 1948.
Muriel Berkowitz.
Right after Muriel Berkowitz. Yeah, right after Muriel Berkowitz.
All right, so Ira, you know, anybody who hasn't listened yet, they can go back and listen to our marathon draft podcast, draft-focused podcast, first ever mock draft on your podcast. Very unique, very different. They can listen at Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, and of course our favorite place, right at joebucksfan.com, where so many thousands listen to your fantastic words and the things you teach us, Ira.
A good boss, Steve, and I pose that as a question, but a good boss, one day after I asked if I was still in the top 50, would have checked it and come back today and said, no, Ira, you've got extra work to do to get back to that top 50.
No top 50, Ira.
No top 50.
No top 50.
That's what I get for asking, Lee. That's what I get.
February's a tough month to get in the top 50 on a football podcast,
Ira. Well, based on yesterday's podcast, I'm going to spring right back, Lee. Right back.
You should.
But, of course, you dominate the Tampa Bay area and the general boredom and malaise that's out there on most podcasts.
Can you talk about Podbean?
Yeah, Podbean. You've got 500-plus subscribers there, which is pretty cool. Far and away, the leader in the Tampa Bay area clubhouse.
You know, Steve, Lee made a great point, which is his first on this podcast. But he made a great point about 15 minutes ago before you came in right here. We were talking about Winston, of course. And Lee says he makes the Bucks relevant. In February. He's got a point, Steve. I mean, there's other players and, you know, that they got to decide about free agency. But Winston's always the focal point. Every time I put on your boy Florio in the morning on television, he's rapping about Winston for 20 minutes. He's got Peter King on. He's got Chris Sims. And ain't nobody talking about Ndamukong Suh on that show. It's all about Winston.
Well,
do the Glazers like that, Steve? Is there something about
that? Well, I'm just trying to keep it real here off the top of my head would be, hey, if they cut Jameis and they had a gaping hole at quarterback, they'd be talking about who's going to fill it. you know, would make them relevant. And hey, where would the Bucks dive into the sweepstakes? So I don't know. But yeah, Jameis is the topic because when your team sucks, you're only known by your quarterback. And that's where the Bucks are right now. Plus, Jameis is very interesting, right? Nobody's ever seen the 30-30 guy.
They didn't suck last year. They were 7-9. Not good, but they picked 14th in the draft, not 4th. If you're 4th, you suck. So that might be too strong, Steve. That might be too strong.
Lee, if you go 7-9, come on, don't you suck? You may not.
You're a bad team.
You're a bad team. Come on.
Didn't you say 2 months ago 7-9 would be totally acceptable for you?
I
don't forget a thing with you, Isbits.
Ira, I said that it would be good progress for a bad team to get a little better. Yeah. Bucks got better.
And here's something I brought up with Ira before you walked in, Steve. It didn't ring a bell with me until after I published the story. I wrote the story about NFL.com. They said the Bucks had the second best draft last spring. Yeah, you know, all but one player made the team. And I got to thinking about it. How many stinking players are out of football that started for this team last year?
That was a great point that Kemper made the other day, Steve. How many players leave the Bucks? They're out of football. You got to read something into that. That's important.
So how good was this draft? The fact that these guys are replacing people who can't even get a job, is that significant? I don't think so.
Steve, if you're a below 500 team, you can't judge a draft class based on how many games that rookie played. That's a bad way of drafting. Did he have a good season or he didn't have a good season? Some were decent and some weren't.
Well, all right, you know what, Ira? The fans like to hear what you think, so I'm going to pin you down right here as we head into the combine. Let me pin you down one by one here right now.
There you go.
So, Devin White, give me a grade last season. What do you give him? One grade. We're going to move quick.
B minus.
B minus for Devin White. Okay. Second round pick, Sean Murphy Bunting.
C.
Okay. Average second round pick. You're going to call him that. Okay. For the first year. All right. Then we're going to move over to the third round. Mike Edwards.
F.
Whoa.
F.
Tough grader here.
I think he had the job coming out of training camp. I think they wanted him to have the job. He couldn't hold it. He gets an F.
Okay, so we cruise down the third round. We go to Jamel Dean, cornerback.
B.
Okay.
I thought he showed steady progress as the season went on.
So, and of course, you're giving the perspective here of these guys as rookies. You're not looking them through a different prism of pro bowlers.
I'm not saying Mike Edwards is never going to make it. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. You asked me about his body of work in 2019.
As a rookie,
right.
Yeah.
So we've got Devin White gets an F. We've got...
No, Devin White...
Oh, sorry.
You see that, Lee? You see?
I'm just teasing you. All right, so we've got
B-minus.
A B-minus for Devin White. We've got
C
for Bunting. We've got an F for Mike Edwards. We've got a B for Jamel Dean. Then we move to Anthony
Nelson.
Fourth round pick. Was hurt a lot.
Incomplete.
That's what I would say.
Incomplete.
Okay, fifth round pick. Matt Gay, kicker.
D.
Whoa, D. I was a tough grader.
I think he lost two games. Sean said four. I think four is out of line. I think he lost two games. That's unacceptable.
Well, two is there's without a question. Seattle and New York Giants.
I would have gave him a B going into the last month of the year, but you can't screw up like that.
Scotty Miller, sixth round pick.
C minus?
Yeah.
C minus.
Okay, so.
Am I a tough grader, Lee? I mean.
A little bit, but you're not unfair, but you're tough.
The seventh round pick was cut. So here
that's an A. Get rid of him.
In your mind, two guys deserve better than a C. I can't call that a great draft. Lee, you think Ira's a little too tough? What do you think?
A little too tough, but not unfair.
I'm not calling it unfair. When did I call it a great draft? You got a premise that I never said.
That's why I asked Lee.
Oh, you're saying that.
Yeah.
NFL.com said it was.
Who was that, Lee?
Can't remember the guy.
Jeremiah? No.
No, it wasn't Jeremiah.
Had the Bucks having one of the better draft classes.
They had number two.
I can't say that, Lee. I just can't say that.
Yeah, in retrospect, after I published that story, in retrospect, I got to thinking, well, all these guys, the Bucks, let's think about this. They had half the starting secondary out of football. That's awful.
You know, they average almost 28 points a game and draft all these defensive guys, and they finish 7-9. It's a problem. Now, there are, you know, the giveaways were a problem. There's no question.
Kicking and Jameis,
For the first half of the season, defense was terrible. Absolutely terrible. No question about it.
All right, Ira, speaking of the draft, April 23rd, Big Storm Brewery.
Can't wait, baby. Can't wait.
49th Street in Clearwater. That's the Clearwater Tap Room. You can see all three tap rooms at BigStormBrewery.com and see all of their beers, which, of course, are available in stores, in bars, in good restaurants. And you can go to use their Storm Tracker or find it right at JoeBucksFan.com. and find out where you can buy your Big Storm beer, the Bromosa, the fantastic Tangerine IPA with that cool cool can, and the Wavemaker, their original Amber Ale, all the great beers. But it's going to be such a good time, Ira. We're
little,
gonna...
little south of Elmerton, Steve, 49th, little south of
Elmerton. Everybody knows how to find it in their phone, Ira, but it's the huge Big Storm Brewery sign. Food is fantastic. Really like their outdoor area is under construction now. It's going to be finished right out front there, grassy and fun and outdoor bars.
How's the food? Anybody had the food yet?
You
food
did.
Good. You had food.
You did. That's...
You ate there.
I had a little sampler. Just a little sampler.
A sampler? You had a big fat burger shoving in your grill. Come on, Ira.
It was pretty damn yummy.
I hope people got the inference Steve had there. For all you people who listen and you run eateries, Steve said the good restaurants serve Big Storm Brewing.
That's nice.
Hint, hint.
Nice touch. In other words, none of the restaurants that I frequent. That's what you're trying to say.
Well, if I can be blunt, like if you don't have Big Storm Brewing, you're a subpar.
It's one of my most fun nights of the year.
Yeah, you're in rare form. It will be fantastic this year. We're going to have some special guests.
I ain't no wallflower. I go from table to table. I don't fool around over
because
here.
People are buying you food.
And at Big Storm at the draft party, Ira, they have a wonderful sound system there. So we're going to have an MC, not announced yet, but there's going to be a good ringleader.
Plenty of TVs.
Tons of TVs.
Tons of
you were there yourself. So, Big Storm, those are the beers. Look for them in the stores. Fantastic. We've had so many people try Big Storm since we've been talking about it. They love it. And actually, I was just talking to my wife's uncle tonight, 75-year-old Vietnam vet. And
what's his name? Cosmo?
No, not name's Chuck. I forgot that I gave him some Big Storm beer to try.
Wow.
And this was weeks ago. He's like, oh, it was fantastic. I bought him a couple of times.
Did you say that, though, you may come up with a couple of special guests without naming any names? You might have a couple of special guests that night at the draft party?
Yeah, I already said that, Eric. Okay. Pay attention.
All right.
So, Sage, look. We have got some...
I don't think you can pull Jason Light to that party. I don't think you can do it, Steve.
All right, Sage, look, we didn't get to this in the last podcast, Lee as well. Now, what do you think when you hear a lot of these big names out there as far as established experts who are so down on Jameis? But there's also a lot of people who are high on Jameis and believe in Jameis and simply take the tack, look, second year in the offense is coming up. If they could just cut those picks down to 18 or so... You got a special quarterback, and you should stick with him. It's not going to be that hard. But I'm going to read you a few quick quotes. But you hear guys like your buddy Scott Pioli, who thinks Jameis is delusional based on his postseason comments, and he thinks Arians was upset with those comments because Jameis is saying, yeah, man, I'm so close to being the best ever.
Also delusional in terms of where he thinks he should be in the free agent marketplace. Is that part of
it? No, just okay. His mindset. You got Eric Mangini out there on ESPN saying, you know, what in his body of work says it's trending in the right direction. That was his quote.
So far, you've named two guys who've been fired repeatedly.
Well,
keep going.
Look, and then you've got Charlie Weiss, who's
another guy.
Adamant, saying who is going to sit there and say Jameis is our guy, although he adds that if you look at the statistical argument of Jameis, that it's strong, and he dropped the Peyton Manning line of, hey, you know, there's a lot there to you might want to think about. All these big names down on Jameis. Peter King, just this week, he's on Teddy Bridgewater's camp, even though King's all over the place.
Florio's a Jameis advocate. He has been a Jameis advocate.
But those guys didn't work in the league. Those other three worked in the league. Thomas Davis, linebacker from the Panthers.
Faced Winston plenty of times.
He went to the Chargers, and he's a guy, if you look at his numbers, he might be on a Hall of Fame semifinalist one day.
Good player.
His
good
list.
Player.
And you know what? He says Jameis should be a backup to Drew Brees and could that's sort of his role right now. So
I mean,
what do you make of this?
Is Davis implying that Winston still has a lot to learn about playing the position after 5 years?
I guess so. What I saw the video of Davis, and he said that Jameis is the bridge quarterback. Like, Brees is one more year, and you groom Jameis to replace Brees.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because
unlikely.
I think Peyton's already got his bridge guy, and I don't mean Bridgewater. I mean Hill.
You've got to be kidding
me. I'm not kidding. I think you're going to see Hill take 30% of the snaps in New Orleans this fall. 30%.
Don't be shocked. I don't see...
Peyton sees him every day in practice.
He sees him every day in practice, but it's not like coaches are God and they never make a mistake.
I know.
There's nothing about this guy other than he's mobile that impresses me.
Well, the good news maybe for Buck fans is it brings Bridgewater into free agency.
Yeah, but stay on track here, Ira, and I want to hear what Lee thinks. You think these football guys, Pioli, Mangini, Charlie Weiss, are throwing out hyperbole? Do you think they believe all this stuff? And does it trouble you as a Bucks fan, an observer, and an analyst that so many football people think he isn't very good?
Yes, I think it's hyperbole. Two, they get paid to be provocative and make statements like this, a lot of them. And do I think they really believe it? Not all the time. Guys on TV, half of them don't believe what they say. That's why I don't respect some of these guys.
Because they're being coached up to say stuff.
It's the Skip Bayless effect.
Yeah, I'm going to give a personal example of this. I was living up in Chicago. This is pre-internet days. Jim Rome worked for ESPN. So Jim Rome had that show at night. It was on ESPN2, if I remember correctly, the call-in show. I actually got through. And the producer said, hey, what do you want to talk about? And I told him what I wanted to talk about. And so he goes, okay, got you on hold. We'll bring you in. About a minute or two later, the producer comes back on. He goes, hey, you know, I know you wanted to ask Vital this. Vital's not going to be on. He's leaving. How about this? Why don't you go off on the Cowboys? Jim hates the Cowboys. You want to go off on the Cowboys? No, I didn't call up to talk about the Cowboys at all. But the guy's begging me to go off on the Cowboys because that's what Rome wanted to talk about.
And I got another example.
And that happens all the time.
When my esteemed colleague, former Roy Cummings, and I do that Spectrum show, Face Off, every Monday night we do it. We tape it, and they show it at 10:30. Well, they give us the topics at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's usually two topics. One's for TV, one's for social media. Well, a lot of times, you know, I go in and see Roy in the lobby, and we're about to go up, and I say, Roy, what are you going to say about topic one? And he'll say, I'm going to say I'm against that. And I immediately look at him and say, well, I was against that, but I'm going to say I'm for it. That's good television.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, that's the way it works.
It sounds like Nick Puglisi got in your head years ago. What
Steve,
is that?
Steve, if you're a Winston fan, you should not lose any sleep about what Charlie Weiss says or Scott Pioli. First of all, I don't think they watch that much film of Winston. I don't think they see him play every week like we do. They've got to be provocative. Otherwise, nobody's going to ask them for their opinion after a certain point.
That's very true.
Look, I'll say this. I don't need Scott Pioli to tell me that Bruce Arians is shook up about the Jameis Winston effect right now. Those two games shook his world. And Lee knows this better than anybody. Going into those two games, Winston was a keeper. Winston was going to be here.
After
no questions
game, yeah.
asked. No, and they were on a four-game winning streak. The question... There was no argument. There was no, you know, there was no controversy. Now there is. I still think it's an open question. Arians keep saying, what's behind door number two? That ain't a ringing endorsement for Winston. It's just not.
Interesting comments there. I'm not going to debate you. The people want the sage wisdom. You're calling smokescreen on these guys.
I am.
TV, can I stick up for Scott Pioli?
TV shenanigans, yes, please.
I'm a Jameis guy. People know that. Do I think he's... irreplaceable? No.
Not everybody thinks you're a Jameis guy. You've been slapped
down.
Yeah,
today someone tried to say I slandered him, and I just on Twitter, and I just came back at him and said, "If you think we're anti-Jameis, that tells me you're admitting you don't read Joe Bucks fan."
You don't read Joe Bucks
fan. Anybody reads Joe Bucks fan that claims we are slandering him and on a crusade to get rid of him, that they just aren't reading. It's as simple as that, as Lovey would say.
All right, about Scott Pioli.
I can't speak with an objective mind about Scott Pioli because he's always very nice to me. Every time he sees me, even if I don't recognize him, he comes up to me, shakes my hand. Hey, how you doing, man? What's happening? Whether he was
one day he's going to know who you are.
But even at the Fruit Dome a couple months ago, not even a couple months ago, a few weeks ago, the Fruit Dome at the Shrine practices, I didn't recognize him. We were coming in about the same time. He turns around, sees me, he walks up and starts shaking my hand. Hey, man, how you doing? And wow. I recognize him then. So I can't be objective, but. You know, I'll just say this real quick about Jameis, and maybe it's just me. I don't understand it, but it's like to me, throwing for 5,000 yards is extraordinary.
Well, that's the Florio argument.
That is extraordinary, and so many people, it's like it never happened. And if Jameis only threw for 3,100 yards with all these picks, I'd probably say, yeah, get rid of him. But 5,000 yards, my goodness.
I don't discount the 5,000 yards, but I gotta play the other side here. Right? Good podcasting, you would call it, right, Ira? Well, if Philip Rivers threw for 4,600 yards, I believe, with 10 fewer picks, which is better? I mean, if you want to play the devil's
advocate. Philip Rivers is a statue.
Who finished second? Somebody threw for 4,900 yards.
No, I'm not saying which player is better, but that's still
Dak Prescott, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dak Prescott.
You know, I don't know how much the yardage really means. I made a note here. Ira, you know, Matthew Stafford threw for 5,000 yards in 2011. They went 10-6, threw 41 touchdowns, 16 picks. The next year he goes 4-12, and he throws 20 TDs and 17 picks. I don't know what it really means.
Steve, the one thing we can all agree on, even Lee, and I don't like to put words in Lee's mouth, the 30 picks is unacceptable.
And no, that's not good.
That's not good enough to Kemper. I said it's unacceptable.
If you're winning, you can get away with it.
You won't be winning with 30 picks.
Fran Tarkenton made it.
They didn't win. It was his last season.
You sure about that? He won a division when he threw 32 picks.
He's 38 years old. He was his last season.
You just said he couldn't win.
Vinny threw 35. The Bucks were terrible. 1988.
Yeah, I can't compare the eras. The game is so different, just to me anyway.
Can you win with 30 picks? Can you win?
Well, we've never seen it happen. We've never seen it.
I say
it,
yes. Yes, I've seen it.
But in theory.
I was watching football back then.
In theory, I don't think you
well,
can.
Well, no. I was going to say in theory, the Bucks could have won two more games this year with some better kicking and a little better
play. Well, but he wouldn't have had 30 picks. He wouldn't have had 30 picks.
Why not?
Because they lost those last two games when he threw six picks. He only had 24.
Oh, so what you're saying is with good kicking, he wouldn't have thrown a pick six in overtime?
30 picks is unacceptable.
I know it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable, but could the Bucks?
And you know who says that? Bruce Arians.
Could the Bucks have gone 9-7 with Jameis throwing 30 picks? Yeah, they could have. Very easily.
You know what this almost sounds like to me? This, you know, everybody, 30 picks, 30 picks. Be like someone screaming about Barry Bonds striking out. Well, the dude just hit 60 home runs. But he struck out. But he scored 200 runs. But he struck out. What is it? Do you want production or, you know?
You're losing 30 possessions. It's brutal overtime.
No, it's no good, Ira. The biggest way to answer the question, I think, for anybody who thinks, you know, the picks aren't bad at all, is that the next guy threw 20.
And that's why I don't think Rivers is the answer for Bruce Arians.
He's an immobile Jameis. Simple.
Yeah.
why go with the guy on the downside of his career?
Let's not give any authenticity to this Peter King, Tom Brady nonsense. That's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
That's not going to happen. He'll be running for his life behind the Buck offensive line. He's immobile.
Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense, Ira. If they're that bad, then why wouldn't they get rid of some of these guys? And you're sitting here screaming for Jack Conklin. You know, if you sign Jack Conklin and Brady can see your line with these, this is the most expensive line in the game, that's a line I want to play behind.
Now, hold on a second. You got Donovan Smith being compared to Jonathan Ogden over here. Take it easy. Take it easy. He's an average left tackle.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Okay, so who play? Come on, Ira.
Mike North, take it easy.
This is no more than an adequate offensive line.
Okay, then.
And with an immobile quarterback like Brady, that spells disaster.
Take it easy.
Winston happens to be pretty good in the pocket, and he's still getting sacked a ton of times.
So you're telling me that Bruce Arians and his brain trust of geniuses can't figure out how to use Brady's quick release skills?
No, what I'm saying is, from Brady's standpoint, he's going to have options if he leaves the Patriots, which I think he is leaving the Patriots.
And where's he going to go with the better offensive line?
San Diego?
If the Bucs sign Conklin, as an example.
Oh, San Diego's got rotten offensive line.
San Diego's O-line is rotten. Dan Fouts came out, Ira, and said he stands fully behind Phillip Rivers, that he's been playing behind a crap offensive line for so many years, including last year, and he's been covering for him, and the guy's an excellent quarterback. Where's he going to go?
Colts?
Maybe.
You think Dan Fouts is making it up? He's in the room with you. I'm sure you have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, I wish you'd talk up John Lynch once in a while. If you're listening, Dan,
Where's Brady going to go with an offensive line? Where?
Well, maybe Carolina's is better.
Carolina?
I don't, Chicago. He's going to have options.
You know who led the league in sacks allowed, Ira?
Hold on. I did know that. Arizona?
Carolina.
Oh, Carolina.
Wow.
Now, they had a rookie quarterback in there half the year, all that stuff. But I don't know. Now, another thing that came out this week, I'm sure you saw it, Ira, because I know you read every word on JoeBucksFan.com religiously.
As they get posted. I'm all over it.
And I thought this was just interesting because I had never heard it before. And with everybody and their brother arguing and yelling and screaming about Jameis, I thought it was fascinating because it's just a unique nugget. And forget who it came from, because as soon as I say the name, people are going to be like, that loser. Well, so Mike Tannenbaum is on ESPN, and he's anti-Jameis, and he comes out and he says, the Buccaneers have been a top five team, or maybe it was a leader, I don't remember. It was either top five or worst in the league over the last 5 years in most delay of game penalties.
Yeah, I saw that.
That shows that in his mind, Jameis isn't managing the game and isn't developing properly, and that's a problem. What do you make of that?
I think it's a small point, but I think it's rather telling. I mean, who are you going to blame? Ali Marpet? I mean, Winston's in charge. He's in charge of the huddle. He's in charge of snapping the ball on time, getting it out on time. It's another part of managing the game. Look, it's not as critical as not seeing a linebacker dropping into coverage and throwing it right in the guy's hands or throwing pick sixes. But it's all part of a pattern. Now, here's another part. Lee, you may not like this one. Somebody else said this to me. I think my brother.
I wish we had video.
From 2,200 miles away, my brother in La Quinta, California. He gets to see one Buck game a year. It's right near Indian Wells where they have that big tennis tournament. Right near Indian Wells. And so he sees the Bucks play once because the Bucks only play once on National
Monday Night Football or Thursday night.
And
yeah.
He said to me a couple of times over the years, that guy looks nervous. He looks nervous back there.
Yeah, he's jittery.
Look at Lee. I can't believe you're agreeing with
me. No, he does. He gets too hyped up.
Well, why is that, Lee?
Ira, you're telling us the O-line sucks. Of course he's nervous.
I said they're adequate at best.
Well, you know where this is going? I'm not saying Tannenbaum's inaccurate.
By the way, isn't Tannenbaum the guy that would have come with Parcells? Parcells took this job. Yes, he is.
For people screaming about Tannenbaum, did he not build a playoff team with Herm, with the Jets, Steve? I thought he built that. Here's where this is going. I'm surprised you guys haven't picked up on it yet. The delay thing. What did Arians say about Jameis' eyesight? He can't read the scoreboard?
Can't read the scoreboard.
What's right underneath the scoreboard?
The game clock.
The play clock. I'm surprised you guys didn't pick up on that.
I did not pick up on that, but that makes a lot of sense, right?
Anything that helps, I'm all for.
And by the way, am I the only one that thinks this LASIK surgery is just being completely blown out of proportion?
You're not the only one.
If he's nearsighted, like Arians claims he is, and he can't read the scoreboard, how the hell did you see all these receivers he was throwing to? You know, again, he had 5,100 yards, the best deep passer in NFC.
Now,
he can't be that blind.
I might as well alienate half of Buck Nation, but, you know, that's my job on this podcast. I'm going to say it right now, Lee, and I'm going to stick with it. You said the LASIK thing might be overblown. I'll tell you another thing that's being totally overblown. I could care less.
About?
The uniforms.
Don't
care.
Yeah, because you can't see them.
I'm colorblind, and I don't care.
Yeah, everybody else is revolted by them, the people that can see them.
Steve, is this going to bring spectators into the ballpark and change the perception of the Bucks around the league?
Change the perception, yeah.
Win some damn football games. You know when you change uniforms? When you can't change the scoreboard. How do you like that?
All right, Ira, look.
You mean like the 2016 draft. You may continue, Steve.
So let me float this at you, Sage.
That's a different kind of stunt.
Oh, Steve, you usually laugh at my jokes over there.
I'm trying not to choke. I'm choking a little bit. All right, so look, the whole quarterback market, one thing that doesn't get discussed, Ira, is you got all these quarterbacks. We all know the names.
Well, we got one less quarterback.
One less quarterback.
Started today, yeah.
But supply and demand still exists, okay? So if you've got all these teams, all these quarterbacks out there who want to play, that's going to should drive their salaries down. It really should. And I still say if the Bucks don't offer Jameis a contract, don't offer him the franchise tag and are committed to just making a deal with him, it's going to be very dicey and scary, but I don't think they're going to have to pay that much because there's so much leverage out there.
I think that's a fair point, Steve. It's an unusual year in that regard, Lee, when you got Rivers out there, Cam Newton could be out there, Bridgewater could be out there, Brady. It's an unusual year. You don't get that very often.
By the way, this Cowherd character predicted today, of all the dominoes for the quarterbacks, that Cam Newton will wind up with the Steelers. Now, he didn't say what happens to Roethlisberger. He didn't say. So I don't know if he's hinting that maybe Roethlisberger is going to be with the Bucks somehow or not?
That could be a deal that happens in training camp once Tomlin gets a look at Roethlisberger's arm and shoulder. So it may happen. It may be a late break in development.
And you're convinced Tepper wants to get rid of
Andy Dalton could be out there? Now, look, Andy Dalton is not going into Canton, but he's not bad. He's functional. Now, I got into a little trouble with Buck fans yesterday because I said that if the Bears had an elite defense, they might prefer Andy Dalton over Winston. I was being very specific, and you defended me, Stephen. Nicely done. And I'm not used to that. So, well done. But you're right. And could it affect the salaries now? I saw a story today. I don't know if you guys saw it. If I saw it, you guys saw it.
Wall Street Journal?
Somebody was trying to assess Bridgewater's value on the free agent market. And the first number they threw out there was $30 million. That's outrageous. That's crazy. You don't have that kind of track record. He had one full season where I think he won 11 games with the Vikings. He went 5-0 with the Saints. I think the Kemper could quarterback the Saints for 5 weeks and win a few games.
What did Kirk Cousins have when he headed up to Minnesota? Not much.
The capital collapse.
He was a starter for a bunch of years. This guy started 5 games in the last 3 or 4 years, Bridgewater. I think he's in play for the Bucs if they turn their back on Winston. I think he's in play. We'll see.
Turning their back means they don't franchise tag him.
But I don't see any way Teddy Bridgewater can get $30 million on a free agent market. I can't see that.
That seems ridiculous. If he's worth $30 million, Jameis is worth $35 million. I'm sorry.
There you go. Can we get away from Winston for a minute?
All right, Sage. Combine is next week. Indianapolis. It's cold. Everybody's running around in underwear. The GMs and the executives
are... And we will be well represented, Mr. Isbitz.
And they're talking to agents and doing their things. Bruce Arians is out there.
I got invited to a sit-down with Bob Lamont next week.
Chucky's agent?
Whoa.
Yeah. Chucky's agent. Jason Light's agent.
Mm-hmm. You got to fly to Indianapolis just for that.
I should. I should go just for that.
Just say, tell him you have an understudy filling in for you. You're your intern. I'll play Kramerica for you.
I'm going to give you a couple of positions that I think the Bucs are going to pay special attention to in Indianapolis. Edge rusher, of course. And there's a bunch of them in this draft. And we know Sean Sullivan has the Bucs taking one at number 14, the kid out of LSU. Lee, you know this guy a little bit more than I do. You sound
he's quick.
You sound like you've seen him a bunch of times.
He's good.
He's off a national championship, and Sean said he was the defensive leader of that team with all the attention around the quarterback. They played some serious defense also in Baton Rouge. I'll tell you what they're not going to be looking at. And Sullivan,
quarterback?
Sullivan's got this wide receiver thing up. You know, it's like a shiv up. It's like a pebble in his shoe. I don't see a third receiver as a huge priority. They got third receivers on this.
Is it a shiv or a pebble?
I believe it's a pebble. It's a reference to Godfather 2, gentlemen. It's a pebble in, I believe that's a line. You're a pebble
I thought
in
it was Godfather 3.
Oh, that was bad. I prefer Godfather 2. You know what? Speaking of Godfather 3, and we shift from subject to subject here. Lee, I'm going to make this statement. I've never seen a movie more than Godfather 3 that was sunk by a bad acting job. And I mean Mr. Coppola's daughter had no business being in that movie playing Pacino's daughter. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. She was horrible.
You know, I've seen that movie.
She can't read the phone book.
I've seen that movie maybe 10 times. It's never dawned on me. I mean, I've heard people say that before, and I'm like, I don't get it.
You've seen that movie 10 times. You've seen Godfather 1 3 times. That's a problem.
Oh, no. I've seen God Can't Count How Many Times.
All right, back to the combine over here, Steve. Back to the combine.
So special attention, defensive end.
Running back.
We got it. Running back.
Just to satisfy Mr. DeKemper.
Wait a minute. So the Jason Light scouting staff, to my knowledge, hasn't changed, is going to continue their efforts to study running backs? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
study how other teams use them.
My jury is not out on Ronald Jones. My jury's not out. He made some strides.
You and your juries.
He made some strides. The burden of proof and beyond a reasonable doubt says that Ronald Jones could be a good number two back. For anybody who thinks that he's going to lug the ball 240 times in a season, I think they're out of their mind. That's not going to happen. They need a number one running back. They don't have one.
All right, now let me throw Le'Veon Bell out there to you. Because now Bell did not run behind a great offensive line last year. The few games where the few games that Sam Darnold did not play, I mean, it was unbelievable. The Jets, it was as if they threw out a high school quarterback out there and like who deer in the headlights, and you had Bell pounding the rock with 9 guys in the box, and it was just like
I don't remember one really good day by Le'Veon.
It looked like the XFL, but he did. He did behave. He did run for, I think it was 250 carries. He caught like 70-something balls. And he's obviously a talent in a situation where his coach and the play caller didn't even want the guy. Gaze was pretty clear that it wasn't his pick. You know, he might be available for a trade with the Jets picking up some salary. I don't know. What do you think of that possibility? If they don't have to pay the extraordinary salary.
3 years ago, he was near the top of the list of running backs in the National Football League. He was right there. Great receiver out of the backfield. One of the most patient runners we've ever seen, Lee. He didn't hit the hole immediately. He had that kind of confidence that he could wait a click.
Patience, yeah.
Patience. And they had a very good offensive line, Lee, in Pittsburgh.
Well, of course. Always do.
Always do. And, you know, the Pouncey, and they had Pouncey and a couple of DeCastro. Mm-hmm. They've always got some studs up
Villanueva.
There. And he had a lot of big games. Mm-hmm. And that was a hell of a balanced offense with Antonio Brown and Juju and Roethlisberger. A lot of weapons. And then he pouts. Lee, haven't we had enough at one buck place of shady characters?
You know, that's a very good point, Ira. I never thought of that, but you're absolutely right. That the Dexter Jacksons of the world.
I think it's a hell of a gamble.
Dexter Jackson, the bad one, is another story.
The Swaggy Baker.
Swaggy Baker, those clowns.
Collins.
Yeah, and I liked him, and I got along with his wife, and I liked his wife. But when Grimes came out and said, hey, you don't pay me enough to cover.
Horrible.
That's horrible. Yeah, enough of that nonsense. But here's
there's another guy when he leaves the Bucs, he's out of football. Yeah. Grimes.
He didn't stink. He stunk on purpose, if that makes sense. The last game,
even worse.
Yeah, the last game, he didn't want to go out looking like a bum, and he played really well his last game. He didn't want his last game to be remembered as a stinky game. But I'm going to say this about Le'Veon Bell. You're a big Mike Tomlin fan. Matter of fact, and whenever there's an assistant coach that comes through Tampa Bay, Ira has their back. Who's that clod that over at Jacksonville that couldn't win a damn thing?
Gus Bradley.
You like the guy's George Halas, man, the way you brag about
him. Rod Marinelli, 0-16.
Well, I will say this. You're always getting in trouble with Mad Dog Russo about Mike Tomlin.
I am. I'm always defending Tomlin.
Look what Tomlin did. He had a couple of massive head cases like Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown on the same side of the ball at the same time.
Great point.
And he somehow got them to mold in and play team ball.
Never had a losing season, Steve. It's never happened.
Yeah, it's like Harbaugh. He's just an amazing coach, and they're in the same division slugging it out every year.
They almost made the playoffs last year. They were 1-4, I think, the way they started. But I think Bell is a gamble that I'm not willing to take. Steve, you like his upside?
No, I'm just asking you, Sage. I just wanted your wisdom and your genius. Now, Ira, let me take you back to the combine. So what the politics of the combine is what the coach and the general manager says publicly, right? So Jason Light will have his chat. Arians will have his chat. What are they going to say? Forget about anything else. What are they going to say about Jameis? What are they going to say about their excitement in this quarterback class? Because Arians actually admitted publicly last year, it's one of the first years I'm not scouting all the quarterbacks. Arians was known for liking to do his top 10 list of quarterbacks in the draft. And what's the position and posture they take this week?
I think it's a 180-degree turn. And that's even if they're not getting rid of Winston. That's assuming they are keeping Winston. I still think it's an 180-degree attitude change. And by that I mean, last year, Light doesn't want to talk about quarterbacks because I can't have Winston for a second looking over his shoulder. Oh, we might be interested in somebody else.
He didn't talk about Joe McCoy either.
That has to change. This year, even if they keep Winston, even if they franchise him, pay him $26, $27 million, I don't care. I want somebody strong behind him. I want an option. I want a full report to Arians on 10 rookie quarterbacks that he might be interested in. Breaking all the film down, I want Arians in the front row when the quarterbacks work out. Somebody is going to catch Arians' eye, and it might not be anybody that we even mentioned, even in Sean Sullivan's long soliloquy yesterday. It could be a fourth-round guy. It could be a fifth-round guy.
Maybe it could be that Italian guy from Hofstra.
You know,
what's his name?
Giovanni Carmozzo. Yes. I can't believe I remembered that guy's name. Sounded like a guy that was with me on King's Highway in Brooklyn over there shooting craps. But
here's one for you, Ira. Percentage-wise, you keep saying that Arians is shook in the last two games.
Yes.
And he's always talking about door number two.
Yes.
Percentage. How much of that is posturing and how much of that is genuine?
more than a little bit is posturing. More than a little bit is posturing. Because it's February, and that's the posture month, February and March, where you don't believe half of the things that guys are saying. Now, you asked about what Arians and Light are going to say at the podium.
Yes.
About Winston. Here's what they're going to say. It's a process, and we're still in the midst of this process of evaluation. That's what they're going to say.
Now,
I don't know that that's true. They might have already kind of made up their minds about Winston.
But they're
not going to say that.
The thing about Winston and posturing could also be they're trying to drive down his market.
Yes.
You know, like they're trying to soil his reputation to maybe scare off other potential suitors, which doesn't exactly endear you to the quarterback.
You know, it's a huge question, Steve, is if Winston is allowed to hit...
Endear you, not endure.
As a UFA, unrestricted, how coveted will he be on the open market? I think it's a real question.
They're not going to let that happen. It doesn't make any sense. Either let him go, or you work it out, or you franchise him. Go. They're not going to just let him test the market, run around, and come back. The Glazers going to sign up to potentially be exposed and have no quarterback because Jameis signed with the Chargers?
I mean,
it's goofy.
Now, you talk about intrigue. That might be jobs on the line if something like that happens.
Now, Ira, we talked about this off air.
I think if you make the decision that you're going to allow Winston to test the market, you're moving on from Winston.
You have to
be prepared to.
All right, here's a thought for you, Ira. We talked about this off air the other day. Is it possible that you have reported a couple of times that the Glazers had the chat with Arians?
Maybe
they had
more
the talk.
Than one.
They at least had the talk.
Face to face.
Sit down.
Is it possible that Arians said to them, I can win with Jameis. I saw enough. I can win with Jameis. But I can also win with these three other quarterbacks.
Specific names.
I like Bridgewater. This is what I can do with him. If we brought in Andy Dalton, I like this for this reason.
And Rivers, I can do this.
Hypothetically, okay? Do you think it's possible that Arians said, I can win with these four guys, and you pick Glazers because you need to work out the money and your long-term desire, but I can win with all of them, and I'm throwing it back on you. Do you think that's possible?
You hinted at this the other day. Lee, you might have said this, that in that kind of scenario, it's like if it doesn't work out, it's not on Arians all of a sudden. You know, where... Steve, I think you're the one who said it, that if Arian says, I want Winston back for 2020, and he throws 27 picks, and they go 7-9, he could be out on his ass.
Well, I'm just going to remind...
If he's making the call...
I'm going to remind fans of something. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but what I'm about to say is factual. You can look it up, as they say. You can look it up. Since the Glazer family has owned the franchise...
95...
Only one coach has been retained after two losing seasons, and that same coach won them a Super Bowl. No other coach has had two back-to-back losing seasons. No, I should say two back. No coach has had back-to-back losing seasons and survived, other than Chucky, and he won a Super Bowl.
So that's the asterisk that you understand with a guy who won your Super Bowl.
Well, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Arians, but that's history.
I think if it happens... In terms of another losing season, it'll be worked out, and Arians will announce his retirement. I think that'll be it.
Well, here's your parting gifts.
Yeah, I think it'll be couched as a retirement. I think that's the way.
Yeah, I think they're. I just say, hey, if you have a losing season next year, he deserves to be fired. You can't walk in here and say there's a ton of talent.
It's an easier reclamation than Arizona.
It's easier. We got this. We got that. We're gonna reload and go 7-9, two in a row. I mean, what are you doing?
I got a question for Ira.
And the division might be falling apart in front of you, you know.
If that happens, Bucks keep Arians, go 7-9 with Jameis. Jameis get the boot. I mean, I can hear fans screaming, wait a minute, he's gone through three coaches and this guy's never only had one winning season?
Well, I think they're both out.
Okay.
I think they're both out.
Odds of the Glazers giving Jameis a fourth head coach and a seventh season with no. I mean, the fans would
seems
want
a
fresh start.
Fresh start.
All right, but last question for you here, Combine. We'll go back to the Combine. So you think the Bucks are going to be, like you said, front row, front and center, scouting quarterbacks and letting everybody know it?
I absolutely believe that. Because Lee, I think Arians we'll insist on it.
Lee, what do you think?
It wouldn't shock me if the Bucks drafted a quarterback.
No more
one.
Coddling of Winston, Lee. No more coddling.
It wouldn't shock me if they brought in Rivers and drafted a quarterback. It wouldn't shock me if they kept Jameis, brought in a quarterback, kind of light a fire under him, saying, hey, if you don't make it, Jordan Love's our quarterback in 2021. I don't know. It wouldn't shock me.
I don't think Winston's going to have a big leash in 2020 if he stays.
Well, it depends who's the backup. I mean, if
Steve, I see a 1-3 start. I see his ass on the bench. I can see it.
Even if what's his face, Mister, I can't get in the game. He finally threw two passes this year.
No, Griffin's no factor.
Griffin. That's what
Griffin's
I mean.
No factor.
Well, that's what I mean. It all depends who's if Griffin's your backup. I don't think they're going to yank Jameis.
I don't think Griffin will be the backup. I don't think. I think there'll be a third round quarterback taken, and be groomed by Arians.
Well, look, the third round quarterback thing it just feels kind of weird. It's like if you really think you need a quarterback, then go draft one.
Yeah, don't monkey around.
And if you wanted a third round quarterback, then why didn't you do the smart thing and draft Gardner Minshew last year, or find a guy last year to have an extra year in the system, fifth, sixth round pick? There were guys out there. What are you doing?
They weren't thinking about options beyond Winston last year. It was the furthest thing from their mind.
Right, but you know what? That's where you draft a backup quarterback, fifth or sixth round. So I don't know. It feels like they're always chasing themselves, you know? We're going to take a quarterback in the third round this year. Andy Reid drafted Aaron Murray, our XFL buddy, in the fifth round.
Woof. That was Andy Reid?
Yeah, fifth round, Andy Reid. And 2014. And, you know, okay, it didn't work out, but at least it was a fifth-round pick. They tried. Now the Bucks, I don't know.
Lee, you're not going to franchise Winston for $27 million and draft a quarterback in the first round. I mean, that's silly.
Why is it silly?
That's silly. You gave him the money. You got to show a little faith in him.
I think the faith is $27
million. Yeah. It's the most important.
I don't think that's a stretch.
It's the most important position in football.
I don't think it's a stretch. Like I said just a moment ago. It would not shock me they bring Jameis back. And
that is the ultimate hedging your bet. Ultimate hedging your bet.
That's also smart, too, is it not?
You just bet $27 million on the man.
How many millions have they spent already, it wouldn't shock me whatsoever.
I wish they'd start hedging bets on running backs and spending money on some of those guys.
And maybe a pass rusher once in a blue moon. I know I'm a broken record, but damn it, the second most important player on the team. And they're going to shell out all kinds of money for JPP. He deserves it. Or maybe a Clowney or someone like that. But they won't draft one. It's just like it's like there's some allergy in the front office. Like if they draft a pass rusher, they'll break out in hives or something.
Sage, send out this podcast to its untimely death.
All right. I will task you with a strong burden because you're going to Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm
going
to have...
And my name's on this podcast, and so, you will carry the water.
In other words, you want us to eat a Primanti sandwich for you.
That would be a salad and a soup.
Only morons buy a salad of Primanti's. Ira.
I will never live that day down. I was with a bunch of Lightning people,
you should have been locked
and they
up,
still talk about
you
it.
You should have been locked up in a Pittsburgh jail for that. That is a sin
when
of the highest
waiter,
order.
When the waiter brought it to me, he said, nobody's ordered this in 6 years. I said, it's on the board.
It's a sin.
He said, we don't take anything off that board, but I haven't carried it over to a table in 6 years.
That is a sin.
Carry on in Indy. Best of luck, gentlemen. Travel safe. And I want to hear everything that happens.